to an outdoor Christmas market in eastern Germany. The BBC's Damian McGuinness says the driver is in custody.
A rental car was used. Police are describing this as an attack. That's because it seems to have been deliberate. The suspect has been arrested. He appears to have been working on his own. So far, we don't really know anything about the motive. The suspect is originally from Saudi Arabia, has been in Germany for about 20 years, working as a doctor.
There are reports the driver posted extremist views on social media. A judge in Missouri has ruled that state's near-total abortion ban is unenforceable.
Missouri voters approved abortion rights ballot measures in November. The ruling on enforceability of the previous law sharply restricting abortion from Circuit Court Judge Jerry Zhang is preliminary, but a signal he intends to declare it's also unconstitutional. The judge blocked other abortion laws, including a 72-hour waiting period and a requirement that patients be given state-mandated information before an abortion. No comment yet from State Attorney General and abortion opponent Andrew Bailey. Michael Toscano, CBS News.
Someone with a lot of luck could have a very Merry Christmas. There were no winning tickets for Friday's Mega Millions drawing, so the Christmas Eve jackpot will grow to an estimated $944 million, the seventh largest ever. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Earl Ingram.
Mr. Ben Wickler, he is running for the national DNC chair. The fundamental problem was the Democratic brand. Do you think that is the case more than the Harris campaign?
Core answer is yes. The Democratic brand, it's not what we necessarily do or say. It's what people have heard and internalized. And that to me is an argument for thinking about how and where we communicate, making sure we are present in places where people are thinking about stuff other than politics.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local civic media radio station. And on the app. The Todd Albaugh Show.
UW Systems spends $51 million of our taxpayer money for consultants. Three times the budget shortfall that triggered the Oshkosh layoffs in 2023. Why is there such silence from Democrats in the state capitol on this? Ask people at Richland Center, Waukesha, Washington County, if they got their $51 million worth for the UW system.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle. Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Hairs almost where they can surf on top of the snow.
For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight, a low of 0 to 5 above. Looking mostly cloudy for tomorrow, a little warmer, high near 20, and a mix of sun and clouds and a high in the low 30s Sunday. Few flurries Monday, a high in the low 30s, dry and mid-30s for Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. Currently, it's 4 below.
Earl Ingram.
Join me on the next show for a Christmas edition of Motown Monday. We'll stroll down memory lane with some of your favorite Christmas songs and get you ready for the holiday.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text or leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that the guy who is apparently running our government owns, that used to be Twitter. It is time. It is time. It is the final day of our statewide text to win grown-up gift list contest. So go get your phone. Open the Civic Media app. This is the word you want to text this hour for $100 in cash. The word is cookies. COOKIES. Sure, they give us a long word on the last day. The word is cookies.
They gave
COOKIES. Cookies is the word for today. Text in cookies until noon, and you are in the running for $100 in cash. And then, of course, one of eight grand prizes, including a snowblower. We have espresso machines, some nice luggage sets, and robotic vacuums. So text the word cookies, COOKIES. This hour we are playing for $100 in cash. He joins us every Friday from the recombobulation area, and also Civic Media's political editor Dan Schaefer is here. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. Always always wonderful to join you here on a Friday on Matt and Air on Air.
You've got some big stories on the recombobulation, Dan. Which one and where would you like to start?
Yeah, sure. We have had a bit busy week at the recombobulation area. We'll start with a piece that's been in the works for a little while here from a longtime contributor, award-winning contributor, Phil Rocco, who wrote a terrific piece this week about shared revenue, about what was happening in Waukesha County. So Phil wrote last year when the shared revenue law was being debated. Phil wrote a extensively reported and researched analysis series on the law reforming the state's shared revenue program, which was, you know, one of the biggest pieces of legislation that passed last year. And it was, you know, just very much long overdue. The state had been underfunding local government for really a long time, and it really got especially worse, you know, under Republican control during the Walker years, during the Robin Voss years in Wisconsin. And so with that reform bill, it was like, okay, we finally have some more state dollars going to local municipalities, local counties, whatever it might be. But I think what has been happening in Waukesha County over the last couple months is revealing the limitations of this law, and revealing some of the criticism that was directed at Milwaukee as Milwaukee was seeking to raise its sales tax as a part of this law. You know, it was, you know, as I was saying at the time, as I and many others were saying at the time, was this is a problem that every community in Wisconsin is facing, and not just Milwaukee. And so to call this a bailout of Milwaukee, to call Milwaukee mismanaged, and all of these different things that were levied at the city as this bill was being debated last year. Well, now Waukesha County is dealing with many of the same problems. So are people saying that Waukesha County is mismanaged? Are people saying that Waukesha County is needing a bailout? Not exactly. But I think it is really interesting to see what's going on there, because I think it is revelatory in what's happening throughout the state, and just how the state is still sitting on this $4 billion surplus as needs in local municipalities are going underfunded. And so the Waukesha County executive, Paul Farrow, a Republican himself, earlier this fall tried to put forth an effort to raise the sales tax to address some of these budget shortfalls. And Scott Walker, former governor Scott Walker, stepped in to say that, you know, hey, we shouldn't, you know, raise our sales tax in Waukesha, blah, 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 all of these different things. And it killed the effort in real time there in October in Waukesha. But that is not stopping the problems that the county is facing. So after Walker killed that effort, the Waukesha County Board in late November unanimously passed a resolution urging the state of Wisconsin to provide the county with additional shared revenue. And so, you know, it sure is the type of scenario where, you know, it's just like the hot dog meme of, hey, we're all looking to find the guy who did this. And it was Scott Walker underfunding local municipalities when he was governor. And it was, again, Scott Walker killing the effort to raise the sales tax to fund critical services in Waukesha. So Phil Rocco really did a deep dive on this. I'd encourage you all to take some time to read this piece now at the Recombobulation Era and also available at civicmedia.us.
I am curious, Dan, as to why Scott Walker still has any influence here.
I think it's, you know, it's just the name recognition at this point, right? Because he hasn't held office in, what is it, six years?
Six years.
He has not held office anywhere, not been on the ballot. Hasn't won an election in a decade, you know. So, but I think it's just on name recognition alone. And I think part of it is that in Milwaukee's efforts to raise its sales tax for the county and for the city, the business community got on board with it too. So as the MMAC backed that effort. In Waukesha, it's different because the Waukesha Area Business Alliance, I think I'm bungling that name a little bit, but they have also joined Walker in opposition to this effort to raise the sales tax in Waukesha County. So I think that is part of what's different about it too.
You know, the thing it's funny you're talking about these things now. When I worked for the city of Racine back in 2009 and 10, when Walker was coming to power the following year and the Tea Party was really taking form, these efforts to stamp down any sort of we fought and scraped and scrimped for shared revenue and any sort of funding for projects and told simply, yeah, you're not going to get it. Why not? You're Racine and you don't fit our milieu. You didn't vote for us. So sorry. And they tried to, and then they killed the sales tax raising back then too. And we tried to tell people it was 1/4, 25 cents on every $100 spent. And they were like, I don't care, don't raise my taxes. And that was it. Mm-hmm. Lost two to one. And so reading about this now and hearing about it now, it's really frustrating because all we were trying to do was help the people. And now Waukesha is trying to help their people. And it just seems different because is it Waukesha? Is it because it's Waukesha? And they're still struggling, though. They're still struggling.
And Waukesha is the wealthiest county in the state. And
really?
So the people of Waukesha have the funds to pay for, you know, is the highest average or median income in the state of Wisconsin is in Waukesha County. So they're, you know, the people of Waukesha County have some money that you could potentially tax here. But I think the part of what Phil Rocco gets into in this piece is that the problem with the shared revenue bill that was passed last year was not the formula used to kind of change the way tax dollars are allocated to local communities. That was one of the strong parts of the bill. What the problem with it was that it was still very stingy in the number of dollars that would go to these local communities. So overall, and I'm reading directly from Phil Rocco's piece here. So he writes, the problem with the bill came down not so much the convoluted formula used to allocate aid to counties, but to its relatively stingy financing. Overall, Act 12 allocated $68 million to counties in 2024. This is a fraction of what counties would have received under the old shared revenue system had it been revived and adjusted for inflation. It's also half of what counties would have received under the proposal made by Governor Tony Evers in early 2023. So this is part of it too. So like Evers put out this proposal for shared revenue. It brought so many more dollars to local counties, local municipalities than the Republican authored bill that was ultimately passed. And I think a lot of people, myself included, were saying, yes, we should pass this shared revenue bill, but to live to fight another day because we are going to fall off the cliff in cities like Milwaukee and around the state if we don't get some level of shared revenue back to local government. What I think the crisis that they're seeing in Waukesha County is revealing is that if we would have gone with the Evers proposal last year, that would have made a huge, huge, huge difference, and that many of these counties would not be looking to go to sales tax, or as we saw in the November election, so many places going to referenda to fund services, fund schools, whatever it might be. And so it again is showing that the problem, as it so often does in the state of Wisconsin, goes back to Robin Voss and the leadership in the Republican-controlled state legislature.
It's all about Robin.
I'm so shocked. It's Robin's $4 billion, and he knows how best to use that money. We only have a couple of minutes left before we got to go to break, Dan. But when we're talking about what are things that people that are going to impact people, what are the, because that's the only way that people can ever change their mind is if it directly impacts them. So when we're talking about these funding issues, what is it that folks aren't going to be able to get?
Well, this will go. So there are a number of services that counties are like mandated to carry out. And these are things like the courts and things like that, that are, it's just where the counties are like an arm of the state, right? The non-mandated services are things like public transit, libraries, parks, other amenities like that, that are critical to maintaining quality of life in a lot of these and across the county. And so like the county had to cut a few million dollars from its budget this year to deal with the fact that they were not able to pass this sales tax increase. The sales tax increase would have been like a 0.5 sales tax increase that would have brought in an annual amount of $50 million a year. And again, made it less reliant on the state for some of these services. But these are the types of things that people are not going to have when they continue to face cuts. It's just, you know, it's not a situation where people are, oh, you're going to have to do more with less. You're going to have to be more efficient. We've already spent 40 years hollowing out the public sector in this country post Reagan. And so like, where else is there to cut in a lot of these places? And you have, again, this is a Republican county executive who is proposing these changes.
We're going to keep recombobulating with Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area, also Civic Media's political editor. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Mayer on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matt Nair on Air.
The Todd Alba Show.
UW System spends $51 million of our taxpayer money for consultants. Three times the budget shortfall that triggered the Oshkosh layoffs in 2023. Why is there such silence from Democrats in the state capitol on this? Ask people in Richland Center, Waukesha, Washington County, if they got their $51 million worth for the UW system.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Mayer on Air. Jane Matt Mayer, Greg Bach, Cal Viente on the board, coming to you from our home at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text, or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Don't forget to text the word via the Civic Media app. The word to text this hour is cookies. We have a visual display. COOKIES. Cookies is the word to text in via the Civic Media app, and you are in the running for $100 in cash. And of course, even if you don't win the hourly prize, everyone is in the running for one of 8 grand prizes: snowblower, candy thing, robotic vacuums, espresso machine, nice sets of luggage. So make sure you text the word via the Civic Media app. The word this hour is cookies, COOKIES. Your next chance at the 1 o'clock hour with Todd Alba and then 4 p.m. with Dominic Salvia. He joins us every Friday from the Recombobulation Area, and Civic Media's political editor, Dan Schaefer, is here. Dan, let's move on to the Act 10 being deemed unconstitutional, although I don't know if you saw this, but Urban Milwaukee this morning just released ruling that struck down Act 10 put on hold.
Yeah, the rule. This is kind of an expected part of the process, though. So I think it is, you know, everybody had expected that this ruling would go to appeal and that appeal would end up at the Wisconsin Supreme Court. So news this week on Act 10, but expected news. So I think this is not something that anybody should really be, you know, alarmed by, that this is, you know, ending the decision or whatever it might be. This is expected. I think it all along this case was inevitably going to go to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Just a reminder that that is going to be a key issue in the April 1st Wisconsin Supreme Court election that is coming up next year, in case you were missing campaign season in Wisconsin.
I really wasn't. I wasn't.
well, you got, like, you know, I don't know, 11 more days before we're really back into the thick of it here. Yep. in January. Right. But I think, you know, so we ran a piece this week at the Recombobulation Area from attorney from Law Forward, Jeff Mandel. So really breaking down what the ruling on Act 10 means. And, you know, there have been a variety of challenges to Act 10 over the years on the open meetings law, on a variety of different fronts. But I think what this challenge what is different about this challenge, and what I think brings it a greater likelihood of being upheld by the courts as it winds its way through the process, is that it challenges things in a different way, and it challenges one of the inherent problems of Act 10, which is that it treats two categories of public employees differently under the law and under the Equal Protection Clause of the Wisconsin State Constitution, that is what is ultimately was ruled unconstitutional by Dane County Judge Judge Frost. So the key issue there is that it created two public employees in two groups: public safety employees who largely retained their bargaining rights and other benefits, and those who were deemed more general employees who lost those rights and lost some of those benefits. And, you know, from talking to Jeff about this piece, from reading his analysis that we published this week at the Recombobulation Area, I think this stands a better chance of being upheld than many previous challenges did, because of the inherent conflict there. So, you know, as this goes forward, I think that's something to watch. And I think that is the, you know, one of the key problems. If conservatives and Republicans who back this law really back the changes, really back the way that this public policy is applied, then it should be applied to all public employees and not just the ones who did not endorse Scott Walker in 2010. Mm. Yep. Because that is really the dividing line of what was deemed a public safety employee and who was deemed a general public sector employee.
Well, and the one thing that the Republicans like to tout about Act 10 was that it saved us billions and billions and billions of dollars. And I have yet to see any piece that shows where those savings, where did it go?
And that's part of the problem. One of the things is that they tout these savings, and it's always, they reference these far right think tank groups like the McIver Institute, who just pluck these dollars out of nowhere. And part of it, I think, you know, just gets back to the conversation we were having about shared revenue in the previous segment. Like, if Act 10 was this end all be all of saving dollars for local government, for local communities across the state, well, then why do we have this? Why did we need the shared revenue bailout a year ago? And right. Why are we still seeing so many of these problems for local communities across the state? Like, if Act 10 was supposed to solve this problem, why are we in crisis a decade later for the very same problem that this was aiming to address?
And that is exactly the question that reporters should be asking these guys when they're going to be coming around again talking about how Act 10 was the greatest thing since sliced bread, and we have to make sure to elect whoever to the Supreme Court so they can, so, because that's what it's going to be for the next couple of months.
That's exactly right. And I think that's part important to have these conversations and just to recognize what is happening on the ground here. You know, not only did it leave, it caused so many teachers to leave the state and find jobs elsewhere. It created all sorts of problems, cascading levels of problems that we're still seeing. And it has not solved the issue that it aimed to solve. And so for all that conservatives want to tout that this law did, why are we back at the table talking about shared revenue, talking about local government funding, talking about school funding, talking about teachers a decade later, if this was the thing that was supposed to, you know, be the fix for that in the long term? I think that's inherent to that. And I think it's going to be important for voters to make their voices heard on that in April.
Absolutely. We're going to be hearing a lot about this as much as we would rather not. Stay with us. News is coming up next, and then we will keep recombobulating with Dan Schaefer. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the vast, statewide, countrywide, yep, we're global on the app, Civic Media Radio Network.
Hoping for a relaxing weekend. Once I get strapped in the 210, wheels up and we'll be rocking, getting out of frozen Wisconsin. I need you to recombobulate me. I want you to recombobulate me. I need you to recombobulate me. Won't somebody recombobulate me?
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
CBS News Brief. 38 minutes after the midnight deadline, the Senate approved a spending bill to avert a government shutdown. CBS's Nicole Killian.
It cleared the House earlier in the evening after a roller coaster week of negotiations following initial objections from President-elect Trump and billionaire Elon Musk.
The bill will fund the government through mid-March. It includes $100 billion in disaster aid and $10 billion in aid for farmers. The big holiday travel rush is on. So far, so good at Atlanta's airport.
I travel a lot. They're doing pretty dang good. Like, I've seen days where it's like a Monday and it's like double this. Like, they're moving.
Police in Germany have arrested the driver who plowed his car into a Christmas market, killing at least two people and injuring 60. Rainer Hasselhoff is the state premier of Saxony-Anhalt.
We are in the process of collecting all further information and also carrying out the interrogation. But as things stand at the moment, he's a lone perpetrator, and all investigations are now underway.
CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Wallace.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Bucks basketball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's the Bucks and the Washington Wizards tonight at Fiserv Farm in Milwaukee. The Bucks back from Cleveland, where they lost last night to the first place Cavaliers, 124-101. Cleveland has added bigger players to their roster. They've now beat the Bucks three times in a row this season. Giannis Antetokounmpo after the loss.
Yeah, it's definitely harder. You know, it's harder for you to get offensive rebounds, take possessions. They show a lot of crowd. It's hard for you to drive and kick. So yeah, they definitely make it harder for a lot of teams. Is this the last game of the season against them?
One more.
So yeah, it's good. It's a good challenge. You know, I'm excited to see them again.
NFL, the Packers face the Saints on Monday Night Football. Jair Alexander trying to come back after missing the last month with a knee injury. Second-year man Carrington Valentine on how the Packers defense has improved.
Yeah, that we're trending the right way. As long as we keep keep practicing hard, you know, keep doing what we do, sky's the limit.
That's Packers defensive back Carrington Valentine with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight, a low of 0 to 5 above. Looking mostly cloudy for tomorrow, a little warmer, high near 20, and a mix of sun and clouds and a high in the low 30s Sunday. Few flurries Monday, a high in the low 30s, dry and mid 30s for Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. Right now it's 5 below.
Earl Ingram.
Chuck from East Troy. Good morning to you, Chuck. You say what?
I have a bone to pick with you. Since my wife discovered Civic Media 2 years ago, we are addicted to Civic Media, and you are one of the ringleaders. So anyway, I just want to thank you. Have a good day.
Hey, Chuck, man, thank you very much for the call. Tell your wife I said thank you, and it's an honor and a privilege.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
UW Systems spends $51 million of our taxpayer money for consultants. Three times the budget shortfall that triggered the Oshkosh layoffs in 2023. Why is there such silence from Democrats in the state capitol on this? Ask people in Richland Center, Waukesha, Washington County, if they got their $51 million worth for the UW system.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, political consultant Joe Sopecki joins us and another edition of This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, or leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. It is the final day of our statewide Text to Win grown-up gift list contest. The word to text this hour via the Civic Media app is cookies. C-O-O-K-I-E-S. The word this hour is cookies. We're playing for $100 in cash. Everyone who enters will be in the drawing for one of 8 grand prizes as well. Greg Bach, if people were interested in a bonus entry, what would that require?
Oh, sir, very, very simple. If you have never entered the contest yet this time around, you're going to enter now. You're going to download that Civic Media app, text the word cookies to us, and then Civic Media will then give you a response message, and it will ask if you will please sign up for the newsletter. Follow Matt and there on air on Facebook. Follow Civic Media on social media, which is a hard sentence to say, but basically give you a task. And if you take that task, you will get another entry this one time, but that gives you another chance. So yeah. Do it. What do you have to lose? Don't block us. Don't do all the crazy stuff that kids do. Just answer the call. Take that chance. Get that second option. Get that second entry, and you'll be in it to win it.
And you'll be glad you did. The Civic Media newsletter is fantastic, so I would highly encourage people to do that. It really is great. Our news team does a great job. Dan Schaefer is here from the recombobulation area, and we're going to lighten things up a little bit. We're only 5 days away from Christmas. Kind of hard to believe. As a dad, Dan, Are you dad ready? Is everything done? Are all the toys purchased?
Oh, no, absolutely not.
No?
We're in pretty good shape, but we got a little ways to go. You know, it's always a lot this time of year. The girls are very excited. They're at just the perfect age to be enjoying Christmas.
Have they seen Santa?
Yes. Well, yes. We went to actually took my youngest to the Domes last week. They had a Domes Santa event there. She sat on my lap sitting next to Santa. So that was the That was the compromise of figuring out how to do it. But yeah, the kids can be really afraid of Santa.
Yeah.
Some of those, you know. Yeah.
He's a stranger. Well, he looks like me but older. Who wants to be around that?
That's all right. She was Santa lap adjacent. That was close enough. That's yeah. Absolutely fine. What are the hot toys? I'm just curious.
What's really
high on your Christmas list?
Yeah. So, well, I have successfully brainwashed my daughters into being Bucks fans. So they were doing letters to Santa, and the first thing on my oldest's Christmas list was Bucks tickets. And I was just like, we did it. We have successfully brainwashed the kids into being Bucks fans, or at least I have. And so we're going to be, you know, we'll see if Santa leaves something under the tree to go to a Bucks game in the not too distant future. We're excited about
nice.
That.
Nice.
That would be exciting. So they've never been to a Bucks game?
Yeah, they've been to Bucks games, but I think, you know, they just, that was on their list. We've been watching lots of Bucks games lately, and they're just like, oh, I want to go to a game, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, well, I'll put it on your Christmas list. We'll see.
Courtside Bucks seats.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, we've got lots of fun stuff ready. And I think, you know, we've got some, my oldest is also really into mermaids. So we've got a lot of mermaid stuff in the mix for this year too. So, you know, this is being a girl dad, trying to bring in some Buck stuff to mix in with Disney princess and mermaids and whatever, unicorns, all that kind of good stuff.
That's awesome.
That's a great blend. I like the Bucks and the mermaids. I think that's a great teaming up right there. So we're going to talk a little bit about Christmas music. And
yeah,
I understand that. Dan Schaefer, you are not necessarily a fan of one of Greg Bach's favorite Christmas songs of all time.
Let me rephrase that, Jane. I'm sorry. I know you tried to help there, but he is not a fan of one of the greatest Christmas songs ever written. Period. Exclamation
point. Okay. Some clarification here. So the song that we are talking about is The Wonderful Christmas Time by Paul McCartney.
Yes.
Which I'm not saying is not one of my favorite songs. I really do enjoy that song. I love the Beatles, but I have a take on it, which is that I think Paul McCartney forgot that he was supposed to record a Christmas song, walked into the studio, and just laid that one down and just had it ready.
Yeah.
Because here are the lyrics. Let's review the lyrics of Wonderful Christmas Time. The mood is up. The mood is right. The spirit's up. We're here tonight. And that's enough. I think that Paul McCartney is such a prolific songwriter that he, you know, agreed to record a Christmas song.
Yeah.
Forgot about it. And then the day that he was supposed to go into the studio to record this Christmas song, because he is Paul McCartney, sat down at his piano, sat down and just... It's the same beat the whole song,
yeah.
Right? It's the same thing the whole song.
Mm-hmm.
And the lyrics are just really simple and really could just the type of thing that Paul McCartney could just come up with on the top of his head. And that's what I think happened and created this Christmas song, Wonderful Christmas Time, one of Greg's all-time favorite Christmas songs.
It really is.
And I think he came up with it on the spot. This is my theory about Wonderful Christmas Time. What do you think?
Well, there are some theories that go on, Jane.
I could absolutely go along with that, Dan. I can see him going, oh, Linda, what am I gonna just, you know, like if we're all together, that's enough. All right, let's go. I can absolutely see that happening.
Jane, I know you have a better Liverpool accent than that. Okay, all right. But
I want to hear it again. Once we're maybe off the phone.
there are theories that Paul McCartney stopped writing real lyrics somewhere in like 1971. Cause I mean, and also, can we ever accuse Paul McCartney of writing lyrics with great meaning, deep subtext? They've really run along the same. It's like peace and love. I love you. We're together. You're amazing. Love, love, Christmas time, love. And that's it. That's it.
But I just like, okay, just looking at the lyrics of the song, there's a big part of the bridge where he just goes ding dong for like a minute and a half.
And see, that's where
this song.
See, that's where I've always thought was when I was younger, I always thought that was such a call in, like, oh, you can't even come up with lyrics. I feel like you have to be such a confident songwriter to put a that in there, or ooh ah, or doot doot doot. You're like, you're spending money burning tape to record a song, and you're like, no, we're putting ding dong in there because I'm Paul McCartney and you are not.
And it'll sell.
Yeah.
And it has.
It has.
And it has. And it's an enduring Christmas song that I enjoy every time it comes on. I'm not a huge fan of all Christmas music.
Yeah.
But I enjoy this one. But I just, every time I listen to it, I think about Paul McCartney going in and forgetting that he was supposed to record a Christmas song and just sitting down at a piano and coming up with this on the spot. And I would love, you know, there's all of these like Beatles documentaries and retrospectives and stuff like that that goes on. I would love a documentary about the recording of Wonderful Christmas Time because I think he just did it all on the spot. This is my theory.
Dan, I think you and I could produce this documentary.
And as far as Christmas songs go, Wonderful Christmas Time is actually pretty long. It's over, I want to say it's over 3.5 minutes long. That's long for a Christmas song.
Well, he had to say ding dong, ding dong, ding dong for a minute and a half in the middle of it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's got to be longer. Let's make it longer. Add more ding dongs. Greg, is there a Christmas song that you do not like?
Not really, because I kind of like, it's Christmas music. So if I don't like it, I turn it off. I'm not going to pay it that much mind. Now, Pat Kreitlow hates that song. He hates Wonderful Christmas Time. So I torture him with that song as many times as I can. But no, there's really not a song, because I still to this day, All I Want for Christmas Was You by Mariah Carey. I can hear that song 10 times a day during the season. I'm on it. I'm with it. I'm here for it. I just, there's no reason to dislike Christmas music. If you don't like it, turn it off. But I don't see the point of complaint. Like, I can't believe they're playing Christmas on the radio. I'm like, I would just switch to another channel then. It's very easy.
And since you bring that up, I just want to mention this before we forget. On Christmas Day, actually on Christmas Eve, next Tuesday, from 4 to 6 p.m., our wonderful Pete Schwabba, who is the host of Nightlight, is going to have a special Christmas Eve show from 4 to 6, and then that is going to kick off to all Christmas music all across the Civic Media radio network.
Yes.
Starting at 6 p.m. on Christmas Eve, and then all day on Christmas Day. So if you're going to be snuggling by the fire, opening up presents, I hope you will invite Civic Media along and listen to our Christmas music that's going to be going on all day long for everybody.
And if you are listening to Civic Media and you're like, where's the talk? Don't text us. It's just Christmas music all day. I can't wait to see the text coming into it. Why am I not hearing Earl Ingram, or why am I not hearing Jane Matinere? It's like, it's Christmas, baby. Taking a day off.
It's Christmas Day, exactly. So enjoy some nice Christmas tunes starting again 6 p.m. on Christmas Eve and then all through Christmas Day. This will be across the Civic Media Radio Network. Cookies, by the way.
Yeah.
I want to get this in one more time. Cookies is the word that you need to text right now via the Civic Media app, COOKIES. Text the word cookies via the Civic Media app if you haven't already done so. Then you're in the running for $100 in cash. It's all part of our statewide Text to Win grown-up gift list contest. Even if you don't win the $100, everyone who enters is in the running for one of 8 grand prizes, including a snowblower, would have been handy for some folks last night, robot vacuums, and some nice luggage as well. So text the word cookies, COOKIES. About 3 minutes left. Favorite Christmas cookies? Because we're going to do our cookie exchange, guys, next week.
Yep, next Tuesday.
Calvin, the pressure's on your mother.
Yeah.
She will come through. She was warned.
Oh, my God.
She's been warned. Excellent.
Hey, Calvin, can your mom make my cookies, too? Thanks. Thank you. warn her to for my cookie.
That sounds threatening, you know.
Well, she was asked very nicely.
There
I
it is.
Say.
There it is. There it is. Okay.
All nicely right. warned.
Dan, do you have a favorite?
I have one more thought on Wonderful Christmas Time.
Okay.
Just to keep hammering this. You know, I have a favorite lyric from this song.
Which is?
There's like four lyrics in this song, so it's easy to pick a favorite. Where he goes, "We're here tonight, and that's enough."
But isn't it true, though, Dan?
It's true, but it's just such a funny, that's enough. We're here tonight, that's enough.
When you dig
that's
down.
That's good. That's
when you
enough.
Dig down deep, Dan, you get to all, past all the mud and the muck and the blood and the rock of the soil. Try get down deep. We're just here today, folks. We're here together. That's all we need.
He's not wrong. He's not wrong. This is the brilliance of Paul McCartney, that he can have a lyric that says, "We're here tonight and that's enough," and it's profound, you know?
Well, but who knows, Dan, maybe this was his profound commentary on the over-commercialization of Christmas and therefore saying, we don't need prezzies, we don't need presents, we're here tonight. That's enough.
Wow.
We don't need this stuff.
Jane did it. Jane found the subtext in a Paul McCartney song post 71.
Well, we're here together on Matt and Air on Air, and that's enough.
There you go.
That's enough. Merry, merry Christmas. Dan, you're going to be filling in for us on the 26th.
26th, that's right.
It's going to be fun.
So join Dan Schaefer next Thursday, and have a great holiday, Dan. Thank you so very much. We will see you soon.
You as well.
Stay
be well.
Close. We're going to wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing, Ho Ho No edition. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The mood is right. The spirit's up. We're here tonight.
.5 The Tap. The Dom Salvia Show.
How about this one? Harvey K., a Delano Democrat.
The problem with that is that was his mother's family name. You might not realize that he had a father, too.
Come on, man.
Subscribe to my arguments and you can call a Dom Democrat.
All right, I'll take a Dom Democrat. But Franklin Delano Roosevelt, a big favorite here on this show.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Sweet Cal B coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text, or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We have news coming up in just a little bit, followed by Todd Alba from noon until 2. Maggie Dawn takes over from 2 to 4. 4 to 6 p.m., Dominic Salvia, and then come Monday, Pat Kreitlow kicks off early from 6 to 8. Earl Ingram from 8 until 10. That will be on Monday morning, the weekend before Christmas. Here's the word. You still have about 8 minutes to text in via the Civic Media app. This hour's word is cookies. COOKIES. Text in the word cookies on the Civic Media app, and you'll be in the running for $100 in cash. The hours that we play, again, next up with Todd and then with Dom, either $100 up for grabs or an overnight stay at Chula Vista Resort. Everyone who enters, whether you win a prize or not, is in the running for one of 8 grand prizes. So good luck. Text in the word cookies. It is plural, C-O-O-K-I-E-S. And good luck for that $100 in cash. Help you out a little bit right before the holiday. Calvin, it's 11:53. That means it is time for...
Ho, 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 ho. This shouldn't be a thing. Ho, 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 ho.
This shouldn't be a thing. Holiday edition, I know. Thank you, Todd Michaels. Really like that. Today, it is the ho no edition of This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Headline reads from yourcentralvalley.com, "You're an idiot. Man gets stuck in chimney while allegedly attempting to flee Massachusetts police." Fall River, Massachusetts, a man is facing charges after attempting to evade police by hiding in a chimney and then getting stuck in there. Detectives were executing a search warrant at the home when two men reportedly fled trying to evade arrest. One man actually did manage to get away. He jumped off the roof onto a parked car. Unfortunately, his buddy, 33-year-old Robert Langley, chose a different option and wound up wedged in the chimney. In a message, police said Langley invoked the essence of Santa while seeking a place to hide. Unfortunately, he quickly got stuck there and then had to ask for help from the very police he was fleeing from because he was trapped in the chimney.
Oh my God. I was like, "You're an idiot."
Yes, one of the officers immediately said to the suspect, "You are an idiot." It was on his body cam. They actually had to break the chimney apart in order to get him out of it.
Oh, do you think that the...
Let that just be a reminder that Santa is magical, and that's why Santa can go down chimneys.
Oh, I never knew. That's astute of you to point out. I'm wondering if the crook will have to pay restitution for the repaired chimney that they had to break open.
Oh, I would think so. Yeah, body cam footage shows they had to call the fire department. Firefighters showed up dissembling the chimney brick by brick before pulling Mr. Langley to safety. He was brought to the hospital for evaluation due to his Santa antics. He has been charged with drug possession as well as other offenses tied to outstanding warrants. Police did arrest another person at home, although they said with far less theatrics. I still think the headline kills me. Man gets stuck in chimney while allegedly attempting to flee. No, I think that was allegedly attempting to flee.
No,
that looked like a pretty legitimate effort to get away from the cops.
Fleeing was happening in this situation. There's no doubt about it, or else he just wedged himself in the chimney for no reason because he's just, it's a Sunday, who knows, I don't know, but no, this fleeing happening, yeah. Oh my goodness,
it was fleeing happening. Yep. So if you ever have a thing you see that you think should not be, just email it to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. That wraps up today's special holiday edition of
Oh, ho, ho, ho. This shouldn't be a thing. Oh, ho, ho, ho.
And don't forget, guys, next Tuesday, we are having our cookie exchange. I am pulling mine from the wonderful We Energies holiday cookie book. Pressure's going to be on.
Okay.
This is Calvin's mom.
I'm making my own cookies. I'm not relying upon Calvin's mom, even though I've offered to pay her.
Have you decided on a recipe?
I've narrowed it down to 500 or 700 different options that the internet has for me. You'll be surprised.
You got four whole days. It's going to be great.
Yep.
Thank you, Greg, and Calvin and all of our engineers. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It absolutely means the world. I hope you find some joy over the weekend and you have the chance to share it. Keep it right here. News coming up next. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you on Monday.
This is 93.5 The Tap. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time for an all-new live show. We'll preview the big Monday night football game, the Green Bay Packers. Brady Ewing will be here, and many more surprises. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. The Todd Albaugh Show.
UW Systems spends $51 million of our taxpayer money for consultants. Three times the budget shortfall that triggered the Oshkosh layoffs in 2023. Why is there such silence from Democrats in the state capitol on this? Ask people in Richland Center, Waukesha, Washington County, if they got their $51 million worth for the UW system.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls. W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Wallace. There will be no government shutdown. Early this morning, the Senate voted 85-11 to approve the stopgap spending bill the House passed Friday night. Majority Leader Chuck Schumer.
This is a good bill. It'll keep the government open and funds and helps Americans affected by hurricanes and natural disasters, helps our farmers, and avoid harmful cuts.
The bill does not include an increase in the debt ceiling, which President-elect Donald Trump had called for. The Senate also approved an increase in Social Security benefits for many public service retirees. The holiday travel rush has kicked into high gear this weekend.
Auto Club AAA predicts 119 million people will travel for the holidays. These women flew out of Philadelphia International Airport.
Well, we're happy. We're happy it's our first trip, so hopefully it goes well.
I usually travel on Fridays, and this is the worst it's been for me.
This flyer was pleasantly surprised at Atlanta's Hartsfield-Jackson Airport.
I travel a lot. They're doing pretty dang good. Like, I think it's great. Like, I've seen days where it's like a Monday and it's like double this.
Airlines expect to have 54 million passengers between now and January 6th, a 6% increase over last year. Jim Krasula, CBS News.
CBS's Elaine Cobb has the latest on a car ramming attack in Germany.
A trail of death and destruction in Germany as a car plowed into a crowded Christmas market in the town of Magdeburg. At least two people are dead, one of them a small child. Emergency services rushed to help the injured, at least 60 people, authorities say. Police arrested the driver on the scene. His motivation is still unconfirmed. We have caught the perpetrator, said the premier of Saxony-Anhalt. He is a doctor from Saudi Arabia who has been working here and has been in Germany since 2006.
There's late word the death toll has risen to 4, with 41 people gravely injured. The U.S. has brought a mix of diplomacy and military muscle to Syria. CBS's Michael Toscano explains.
The first U.S. diplomats to visit Syria since President Bashar Assad's ouster have met with provisional officials in Damascus, reportedly telling Syria's new leader, a one-time supporter of ISIS, that efforts to arrest him are stopped, and they are seeking information on the whereabouts of missing American journalist Austin Tice. This as the U.S. conducted airstrikes in northeastern Syria, killing a leader of the Islamic State group, according to the U.S. Central Command, an effort to prevent ISIS insurgents from regrouping there. Michael Toscano, CBS News, Washington.
The first game of the new 12-team college football playoff is in the books. Notre Dame beat Indiana 27-17. The Fighting Irish take on Georgia next in the quarterfinals. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Cindy from Appleton.
Time Magazine has made the convicted felon the man of the year this year. Shame on them.
Time Magazine base their person of the year on impact and, like, newsmaking. The CEO assassination is pretty much the only news cycle that isn't entirely focused on Donald Trump, and yet it still relates to him because he has no health care policy.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
UW Systems spends $51 million of our